States v. Gary Blair, 12-2914. Mr. Bugney?
May it please the Court, the issue here is very straightforward. Did the District Court give this Court enough to review whether or not it exercised its discretion? At sentencing, the defense made three principal arguments, two of which were never addressed. Concerning the career offender guidelines and the fact that Mr. Blair should not be sentenced under them, the Court was silent. Concerning whether or not he was entitled to some mitigation in this punishment because of his mental retardation, his newfound mental retardation, the Court was silent. And that silence precludes this Court from being able to review whether or not he properly exercised his discretion. Now, the government has made three principal arguments in opposition to really this silence, saying, first, that we abandoned those arguments. But the record's clear. We never abandoned them. Those were our strongest arguments. There was nothing in the government's presentation that caused me to pause or caused the defense to pause and say, whoa, Judge, we're going to back up from that. I've rethought it. I don't want to go forward with that argument. The career offender guidelines and taking Mr. Blair out of the career offender guidelines was the best argument that we had. It was the biggest argument that we had for why he should have a much reduced sentence. So that argument was not abandoned. It was not waived for appeal. It was featured prominently in the sentencing memo on page 5, or probably 1 through 5. And then it was also addressed orally. Orally at the sentencing hearing. Second, there is no merit. There's clearly merit to this. This court has time and again said diminished capacity is one factor that the court can consider. This court sitting on bonk and corner instructed district courts that they can disregard the career offender guidelines. If that's so, if the court has that discretion, then it can't be a meritless argument to ask it to exercise its discretion. It's one within its discretion. It's one that it can use when fashioning an appropriate sentence. And three, the government comes back and says, look, actually the district court did consider this. The district court didn't. The words IQ, the words career offender, the words guidelines, those don't appear in his statement of reasons. They don't appear in his statement of the sentence. It's just not there. I don't want to belabor the points.
In looking at the judgment and commitment under the statement of reasons, there is discussion of mental health issues, paranoid schizophrenia, as a reason for going below the guidelines. And in his placement recommendation, he talks about the IQ drop and uses the specific figures that were in your memo. And during his during Judge Randa's sort of extended oral explanation, he does talk about the mental issues and the effect that it's had on your client. So there is discussion in there.
There is discussion. I mean, the problem with it is that a lot of it's, you know, he mentions the word Haldol. He mentions the drugs. And it's really going to the paranoid schizophrenia. And that was directed, in reading it, to the recovery network. The fact that, look, allow this person to get the treatment that he needs on the outside. A big part of why Mr. Blair robbed these banks was he went off his meds. There was a change in that structure. And that was part of the argument. But that part of the argument was not, you know, the career offender guidelines. Definitely the court does touch upon that. It says, hey, I've seen more than a few Gary Blairs in my time. But you haven't seen, you know, a few Gary Blairs who've come out of Supermax mentally retarded. It's a different kind of discussion that the court had.
Well, I guess the trouble I have, Mr. Bugney, is that you talk about making three arguments. It sounds to me like it was really two arguments that blended together. Two of your three seem to blend together, and it seems to me that Judge Randa did discuss the mental impairments that your client faced in with respect to his the seriousness of his offense.
Well, I think the seriousness of the offense, like what went into why he committed this crime, yes, that part is discussed. Whether or not he needs to be sentenced where his his offense level then would increase 12 points because of the career offender guidelines. That's not discussed. I don't know if the 3 points are I guess we could argue there's point one A and B. I count them as one and two, but I'll give the court that. But mental retardation was definitely there, and it wasn't discussed. But I think the court had asked part of its prior question. He does use the exact numbers that I addressed when he recommends Rochester. But that was actually something the defense submitted to the court in a letter saying, this would be the strongest, you know, from, you know, past experience in our office, this is the strongest recommendation to hopefully get Mr. Blair to Rochester. So that wasn't coming as an, you know, part of the extended oral statement of reasons that the court would know. That was the defense counsel being cribbed.
Well, and he does give a sentence that is fairly substantially below the career offender range, 30-some months below that, isn't it?
He does. That would actually be about 60 months above the regular range if you weren't career offender. So the fact that he saw the mitigation that was within this offense, and that was well painted, the fact that, look, the guy goes off his meds, he's doing well, he's a damaged human being, and he goes in and doesn't commit what we consider the normal bank robbery. You know, this wasn't to feed the addiction, this wasn't to go off and do, you know, to gamble it away at Pottawatomie. This was really, you know, something a different kind. It's a sui generis kind of bank robbery. And Mr. Blair's, it was a cry for help. So he addresses that, but he doesn't address why do we need to sentence him at 151 to 188 months. And that's just not there in the record. The Haldol, the schizophrenia, what went into Mr. Blair putting on a sky blue coat, wrapping a scarf around his head, and then walking out in a strange neighborhood. That's definitely there. Court addresses that square on. But he doesn't give the principal reasons for why he has to be sentenced under career offender. And we make a strong case for that. Look, he's not the same guy who committed these prior crimes. It's no different than if we had a client who had dementia and you know, then he goes and has a gun offense after two priors. You know, that's something that, look, this is a different person. We all see that the guidelines can be exacerbated based on prior criminal activity. But if something dramatic has happened to somebody in a medical way, something that diminishes their ability to think clearly and to act in the manner that we normally put those categorical people in, and this court is clear in Wood, you know, why do we do that? And Mr. Blair falls outside of that.
Just one minor question. Did you argue below that this guy wanted to be caught?
I believe it's mentioned in the sentencing memo that it'd be no different if he disrobed. It was a cry for help. I think it's on page 9. But sorry.
Right. Thank you.
Where is your client now?
He's in Terre Haute, USP.
Didn't make it to Rochester.
No, he didn't, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lipscomb?
Thank you. May it please the Court. I'm Bill Lipscomb with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Milwaukee. I guess I'd like to begin almost at the end. And as I was reading the transcript of the sentencing hearing on the train down this morning, I was struck by really the last part of the court's colloquy with counsel. And this is something Judge Randa does in every case. He asks, is there any question with the court's disposition? First he asks the government, then he turns to defense. The answer from me at that point was none, and the answer from Mr. Bugney at that point was none, Your Honor. But then when we get to reviewing this case in the Court of Appeals, the defense argument is we don't know what the judge did at sentencing. I think that's, I don't want to say it's disingenuous, but there's plenty here in the record to show what the court did and why the court did, and I think you've touched on it already. But if we look at what the core of what the court was concerned with here, it was the defendant's significant long record and the defendant's mental health needs. The judge didn't parse that out by saying, when I say mental health, I mean both his IQ, his diminished IQ over time, apparently, and his more recent paranoid schizophrenia. But the court was very concerned about all of those things.
I'm a little confused by that, too, because it seems to me the paranoid schizophrenia was diagnosed back in 2001 or so, and increased or the drop in the IQ is the more recent of the two. Am I misreading that?
I think that's right, Judge. I think perhaps what the judge was concerned about was the treatment and the lack of treatment. I think there was a presentation from a defense witness about the defendant's treatment post incarceration for the last bank robbery. But whether or not it's the order that the court has it or that I have it wrong, the fact is Judge Randa had it all in mind. And there is actually a reference in the record by Judge Randa. I think it's at the top of page 22 of the transcript, where he indicates that he has read the reports attached to the exhibits attached to, I think it's the sentencing memorandum of the defense. These are doctor's reports. He indicates that he's read them and indicates, but when he talked about capacity, you cannot tolerate any form of stress. It goes to the question of the defendant's capacity, his mental capacity, in addition to his paranoid schizophrenia. The court was well aware of that, was considering all of it in the mix. But if you look at pages 22 and 23 of the transcript, this is at the core of the judge's reasoning. He's looking at who this defendant is, his history and characteristics, the good and the bad and the complex, looking at the criminal history and this mental health issue and saying, where do I put the risk of error? How do I balance this? Right? That's exactly what he's saying. That's what the court did. It said, I'm willing to come down from what would be the guidelines, the career offender guidelines. He's not sentenced within the career offender guidelines, and to do something different, but I have to balance that with the risk to the public. How can I do that? How can I be sure he's going to take his medications and not go out and commit another bank robbery or some other crime? And the court's decision is, on balance, this is the right and just sentence, 120 months, which is below what the guidelines would require. This is not a case where we don't know what the court did and the reasonings aren't in the record. They're in the record here. They're also in the statement of reasons. We'd ask this court to affirm.
Two minutes, Mr. Bugney.
To clarify, that statement by Judge Randa was actually him being locked in his room goes to the paranoid schizophrenia. The paranoid schizophrenia has been around with Mr. Blair for a long time, since his 20s. The mental retardation is what's new. And that was just diagnosed in 2011 when he was released from Supermax. But to get to counsel's other points, these newly raised points, this court's been clear, and Rule 51A of Federal Criminal Procedure is clear. I don't have to take exception to the ruling. I don't waive that argument. And Cunningham actually addresses that, says, hey, the government would like us to say that, but we're not going to hold that. Also, that belies the reality of these kinds of sentencings. Counsel get their wind knocked out. You know, you pour yourself out for a client, and you get hit with a sentence like that, you're like, oh. I'm not on my feet as well to say, wait, Judge, one more second. What about the career offender rationale? Because that wasn't stated. The career offender rationale and what went into that, that wasn't there. And that's what this court has to review. And the statement that is given, that mirrors practically what this court just last week said in Vidal wasn't enough. Look, this passing reference to say mental health needs, yeah, they don't go well with drug use. Mental health needs, you have diminished. That's not enough. If this court in Vidal, says it, then this court in Blair should say it as well. To send it back and allow that court to the judge to show his precise exercise of discretion. Before your honors, we would ask that this court remand for resentencing.
All right. Thank you to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. We're going to take a very short recess while we set up for phone access on the next two arguments. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, thanks.